Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God, our Heavenly Father, and Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Grace, mercy, and triumphant. Now sing we now rejoice, joy to the world, the Lord is come. All these hymns, all of these songs, all of these titles point to one truth of Christmas that we all know and that we all take for granted. Christmas is all about joy. And John, in his first epistle, wants to make sure that is clear. And that joy, it cannot be taken away from you. That joy, it cannot be taken away from me, even if nativity scenes are deemed unconstitutional, or the word Christmas becomes unspeakable by our public media, or secular choruses change the words of Silent Night so that they do not have to utter the name of Christ. My Christmas joy cannot be taken away from me, even if I lose my job on December the 23rd, or I learn of some frightening news about my physical condition, or this year's Christmas Eve family get-together means another painful reminder that my loved one is dead. Whether or not your life is shaping up the way that you want it to has nothing to do with your Christmas joy. Your Christmas will be merry this year, only because there is a solid foundation. There is an unchangeable, unmovable bedrock upon which your joy rests. John talks about that in these next verses. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked at and with our hands have touched. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you that we have seen and heard, and so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. Some folks will be filled with joy this year because they get to see relatives they haven't seen in a while. They're reunited with a daughter who lives in Arizona or a grandson who lives in South Florida. The next couple of weeks may bring similar blessings to many of you as we get to see family far and wide, but your real joy will come from the one whose birth you will be celebrating in just a few short weeks. John calls Jesus the Word. You might recall John uses this same title in his gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. By looking at Jesus and by considering what he has done and who he is, we are able to see the attitudes and the feelings that God has toward us. Unwilling to allow his creation to drown forever in a sea of sin, God developed a rescue mission that he himself would be the rescuer. God of justice cannot let sin and disobedience go unpunished. No more than a police officer can look the other way during an act of robbery or of violence. God's justice demands that his imperfection be pointed out and properly punished. Unwilling to have his creation feel the weight of his wrath, he himself steps into our shoes. And since he, the Son of God, bore sin's punishment, he can now dispense forgiveness to the sinner. Believe in me, he says. Know that I have already paid for your sins, he declares. Believe that I am the Word of life, that I have cleansed you, that I have conquered death for you. I have opened up the gate to heaven for you. And you and I believe. That's why our Christmas season is filled with such joy. That's why our Christmas is merry. No poverty or pain, no sickness or death can take that away. Christ Jesus is the foundation for our Christmas joy. And John spends a good deal of time assuring us that this foundation is firm and solid. There are many in this world who claim Christianity is nothing more than a book full of fairy tales and one wishful thought after another. Sure, it sounds nice, but is it really true, they ask. Now, the prophecy of Isaiah, the fulfillment in Luke 2, these are not man-made stories spun from an active imagination. This is the history of Christ. We have heard it with our own ears, John declares. Yeah, the skeptic says, but you can't believe everything you hear. We saw it with our own eyes, John says. And someone argues, well, you can't believe everything you see. John goes on to say, yeah, but we have looked at him very closely. We didn't just view him from afar. In fact, our hands have touched him. Do you suppose that John was remembering the time on the Mount of Transfiguration when he, along with Peter and James, heard God the Father say, "This is my Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Was he recalling the moment outside the tomb of their dear friend Lazarus when Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out"? Maybe. John was thinking about the time when the storm nearly swamped the boat, but then he heard Jesus say to the wind and the waves, "Quiet, be still." Perhaps he was remembering the time when Jesus miraculously provided for him and over 5,000 men plus women and children a meal. Or the time when the risen Jesus appeared to them and said, "Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." The foundation of your Christmas joy, the foundation of your faith, the foundation upon which your eternity depends is not flimsy, but firm. Not unstable, but steady. Not fables, but facts. What does Peter say? "We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." Nothing can take away your Christmas joy because it is founded on Jesus, and that message of Jesus Christ and what he has done is recorded faithfully and truthfully for you in the Word of God. Paul tells us that faith comes from hearing this message, the Word of Christ. And John says the same thing. "We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard so that you may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." So that we make certain that the Word of Christ is a central part of our worship here in God's house, and that we have ample opportunities for all of our members to gather together for Bible study and growth in the Word. That is an important part of equipping disciples to make disciples for Jesus. There are too many things that can distract us, too many things that can occupy our thinking. Therefore, we need to hear the apostles tell us again and again that Jesus came to this world to be our substitute, that he fulfilled all righteousness for us, and that he paid for every last transgression and infraction, that he rose from the dead, and that he lives and reigns over all things for the good of his church, and that nothing in all of creation can separate us from his love, and nothing and no one can condemn us since we have been forgiven. That heaven is our home, and that we are patiently waiting to go home. O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Now sing we now rejoice. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Joy. It's what Christmas is all about. And no wonder that John says, we write this to make our joy complete. Have yourself a joyful and merry Christmas. Amen. Now let us make a joyful noise unto the Lord.